Hi there. In the first run of these 15 podcasts, each episode will be published every Tuesday from noon GMT. Happy listening. Welcome to episode 8 of Douse Your Way to Psychic Power. Previously, we looked at the practicalities of detecting and curing geopathic stress and how to meditate to get in the right zone. And when it comes to asking the right questions, we let charts do the heavy lifting. In this episode, divining your guiding spirit, your guardian and other angels, and time travel dowsing. In using a dowsing chart or in any other application of divining, the first thing you might want to do is contact your spirit guide, who'll be communicating through your pendulum. Of course, if you've not met your spirit guide, here and now will be when you start working together for the first time. Before you start swinging your pendulum, you need to establish a relationship with that entity which is in another dimension. This means you need to know who he or she is. And building a relationship with your spirit guide is crucial, not just for getting the right answers from your dowsing tool, but also for protecting you from malevolent influences from other planes. We all have spirit guides, but we need to get to know what ours looks like, sounds like, and behaves like. At the risk of stating the obvious, you're not going to be meeting your spirit guide while racking up a score at the bowling alley or in a noisy pub or at a football match, even if your team is winning. No, meeting your guardian angel or your guiding spirit will only happen when you've taken the time and trouble to get into the right spiritual mood. So let's give that a go. The meditation exercises mentioned in previous episodes would be a good start. Once your brain's in alpha state, imagine walking along a country path, across a field full of the flickering colours of different species of butterfly. As you walk, be aware of the smell of the grass in your nostrils and a gentle, warm summer breeze on your skin. After you cross the field, you enter a friendly wood. The trees all round you seem to offer a safe haven, and the brightness of the open countryside gives way to a softer, shadier hue. As you continue walking, it gets noticeably darker, but you can still see the reassuring blue of the sky and dappled sunlight through the canopy of the trees. You notice more wildlife around you, rabbits contentedly eating the lower leaves of saplings. Squirrels scurrying upwards. A fox lopes across your line of sight. Everything speaks of harmony, nature in complete balance. In the distance you see a shaft of sunlight shining down through a clearing in which sits a small, crooked cottage. You notice the path you're on leads directly to its front door, as though you've been led here. The door is ajar, and you gently push it open and step inside. You walk down a passage to another door at the end. Gently you ease this door open and see a traditional cottage kitchen, a range against one wall, a sink and draining board against another, and a window looking out onto the wood beyond. But the room's dominated by a large old pine table, behind which sits a figure. The sun shining through the window means the figure's in silhouette. You can't make out whether it's a man or a woman. You notice to your surprise that you're not in the least bit afraid or even apprehensive. There's a chair opposite the figure and something tells you to sit down there. As you walk towards the chair, you suddenly know this figure is your guiding spirit. As you sit, you can see the face, and a voice speaks your name. At this point, you're free to ask this figure any question you like. Its name, how long it's known you. This could go back several lifetimes. And whether it's male or female. Whether it's prepared to help you with your dowsing. Whether it prefers to communicate at other times clairvoyantly or by clairaudient, telepathic dialogue, and so on. When the conversation ends, don't forget to thank him or her, and then retrace your steps. Down the corridor, out through the front door, down the path, through the trees, across the field, right back to where you started. Then, mentally count backwards from 5 to 0 and open your eyes. When you're fully back into this world, and this is very important, write down everything you can remember about the conversation in the cottage, because like some dreams, the detail could evaporate as you get back into your routine of daily life. Your spirit guide's not necessarily the same thing as your guardian angel. In fact, it's more than likely they're completely different beings. We talked earlier about these immortal messengers who mediate between God and humanity. On a close and personal level, we all have a guardian angel. And there are bands of angels in the jobless queue who are only too willing to help out, if we ask. So how do we do this? There are literally thousands of rituals, which you can find on the internet, which proves that there is no single guaranteed way to make contact with your own special angelic helper. But like contacting your spirit guide, you need to set aside some time and find a suitable place to be quiet. Being a dowser gives you a head start in linking up with the angelic realm because the act of dowsing itself gets the brain into the right alpha state. And then there's intent. This keeps cropping up in our dowsing activities, and the reason is that intent is the equivalent of broadcasting a message to the universe saying that you need a helping hand, or even that you are ready, willing and able to make a contribution to the cosmic plan. So, step one is ask your pendulum if it's possible at this moment to make contact with your guardian angel. If the answer's no, it'll be for a good reason, so try again later. If the answer's yes, go to step two, which is to continue to douse in a spirit of faith and trust. And while whirling your pendulum in a yes motion, ask, please give me a message. Allow your mind to completely relax and just wait for a voice to answer, which might come clairaudiently, or you may get a picture in your mind, or a feeling of knowing. You may tell yourself you're making it up, but continue it in an attitude of acceptance. You'll hear words of love, comfort, and guidance. Step three is to give thanks respectfully and say you wish to build a relationship with your angel who'll be there whenever you need it. As you continue to practice, your communication will become easier and deeper. Jean Slatter, in her book Hiring the Heavens, says that we all should fully engage with the heavenly realm to solve our practical earthly issues. She says, when we see ourselves as divinely sanctioned creatures, something quite amazing happens. The transformation is unmistakable. We live life from a different vantage point. We recognize our authority to summon the vast resources of the heavens and all of the eager spiritual assistance that's available for everything we do. We discover that all conceivable problems can be solved by our connection to this incredible power. With this new awareness, we can shape our lives purposefully, creating joy and fulfillment with such ease that it feels like a miracle. From now on, our lives can be deliberate, joyful expressions of the infinite source of all creation and possibilities. Heaven can finally be brought down to earth. Jean approaches enlisting help from the heavens as a kind of hiring process, as you might engage a cleaner or an interior decorator, a chef, a babysitter, or an accountant. She claims that for every earthly job, there's a spiritual counterpart waiting in the wings. Try it. Now let's talk about another topic from what the cynic might call the Twilight Zone, time travel. Yes, we dowsers can go backwards and forwards in time with our pendulums or our rods. Some call this retrocognition, which is peering back into the past, or precognition, knowing impending events before they happen. You can douse the age of an ancient monument, a sacred site, or stone circle. Strictly speaking, this is not going back in time, it's just staying in the present and using the pendulum or rods to gauge how long something's been in existence. I'll come to real time travel in a minute. But dealing with aging something first, that's what archaeological or earth energy dowsers do when they're exploring the man-made remains of a structure. If it's a stone circle, say, the dowser will ask the pendulum, was this site constructed more than 1,000 years ago? If the answer's yes, he'll go on and ask, more than 1,500 years? More than 2,000? And by a process of elimination, he'll narrow the age down to the exact number of years in the past our ancient ancestors were sweating and heaving the stones into place. Then he might ask, was it built as a location for worship? Or an astronomical observatory? Were there human sacrifices here? And so on. By the time you've finished, you'll be able to build up a detailed picture of the location. Yes, it was built for spiritual reasons 3,000 years ago. It took 5 years to lay down and served as an energy amplifier for the tribe's shaman. Later, prominent people were buried there. 2,000 years ago, the site was pillaged and some stones were removed. Since then, it's been undisturbed and has been a magnet for pilgrims from all over Europe. The picture you paint will be as detailed as the questions you ask. The same principles apply to more recent human habitation, a Bronze Age or Roman settlement, for example. And now, what about really travelling through time? That's a phenomenon known as remanence dowsing. This is tracing the etheric outline of an object long gone, or following the invisible trail of someone's steps, sometimes years after they'd been there. Like map dowsing, and more on this in a later episode, it's a concept that's hard to get your head round. How can anyone today detect the shape or position of something that was there hundreds of years ago, but of which there's no physical trace today? A typical example, for instance, is the retired accountant I know who uses a metal coat hanger as his dowsing rod to locate the exact position of the walls, windows and doorways of churches and abbeys that fell down long ago and whose only remains are now either covered by grass and earth or just plain gone. While archaeologists might find enough to verify that there had been some kind of place of worship there, my accountant, stroke dowser, can trace the outline of a complex building complete with nave, altar, chancel and arcade. This phenomenon of finding a memory of something that has vanished and left no trace of itself is the remnants, which is defined as the tendency for conditions to remain. And this remnants applies to everything physical that's ever been on our planet. So, a confident and experienced dowser can detect the energies and track the route taken by a dinosaur on its way to drink, or discern the exact spot Harold died at the Battle of Hastings. This is because everything in existence has a unique frequency, like we each have unique fingerprints or DNA. the dowser can ask to be shown the frequency of the aforementioned dinosaur, and there it will be. Experience as a dowser is essential, though, if you're going to specialise in this area, as remnants creates a trap for the unwary. To give an example, if someone in your family's lost their car keys and asks you, as the nearest handy dowser, to find them, your rods may take you straight to the hall table, where they usually are, but the keys are nowhere to be found. That's because you are detecting the remnants of the keys and not the real thing. So it's important in a case like this to be specific with your question. Where are my daughter's missing car keys now? Until you specify exactly what you want, as far as your rods are concerned, the energies in the astral world are just as real as the energies of the here and now. When it comes to divining the future, there seems to be a governing factor in the process, which you might call need or greed. If you try to douse the numbers of the lottery, you'll fail. This is because whoever the god of dowsing is, he or she has decreed that no one must use dowsing to further their own ends unfairly. Dowsing has to be ethical, so getting rich quick is a non-starter. Putting all your savings on the 310 at Chepstow will only ensure you end up with no savings. However, to douse what the weather will be on the day of your daughter's wedding in 6 months is quite acceptable. It's need that will harm no one. So, work out for yourself what your limitations are and go for it. Will I get an interview for the dream job I've applied for? That's okay. What questions will I be asked? You're pushing your luck. If it's fair, if it's ethical, you'll get an accurate answer. If it's unfair and unethical, you might be taught a lesson. You've not become a dowser to gain an advantage for yourself at the expense of someone else. Hopefully, you'll use your dowsing skills to serve. Coming up in episode 9, we look at that most extraordinary of dowsing skills, map dowsing, and we learn to talk with animals, plants, and yes, stones. As usual, if you can't wait for the next episode, don't forget all the stuff I'm covering here is in my book, Dowse Your Way to Psychic Power, available on Amazon or any online retailer. See you at episode 9.